I think that was our cue. And talking about our beloved Q is now with us, everyone. And this is Jane and Billy from Zora of Hollow Earth Station. And of course, we are here with our beloved Q for his presentation, this very special call that we have with him today. We only have an hour of this call, so we're just going to go ahead and bring Q, who is, of course, Source, as Source here in our world. And Q, if you're here, I think everybody knows you. So we'll just kind of, we'll go ahead and let you have the platform here. Thank you so much, Q, for being here for all of us.
Thank you. It's a great honor to get to do these shows with you. I am blessed to have you in my day and time and reality. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How would you like to begin?
Well, we'd love a song.
Well, let's see if we can keep it on topic for your agenda today. All right.
Thank
you. Here we go. I'll apologize to the musicians later. this is very dear to me. And again, the topic here is encouragement, support, and great love for you all as we continue here. To seek the sacred river Alph, to walk the caves of ice, to break my fast on honeydew, and drink the milk of paradise. I had heard the wide whispered tales of immortality, the deepest mystery. From an ancient book, I took a clue. I scaled the frozen mountaintops of eastern lands unknown, time and man alone, searching for the lost Xanadu. Xanadu. To stand within the pleasure dome, decreed by Kublai Khan, to taste anew the fruits of life, the last immortal man. To find the sacred river Alph, to walk the caves of ice. Oh, I will dine on honeydew and drink the milk of paradise. 1,000 years have come and gone, but time has passed me by. Stars stopped in the sky, frozen in an everlasting view, waiting for the world to end, weary of the night, praying for the light, prison of the lost, Xanadu, Xanadu. Held within the pleasure dome, decreed by Kublai Khan, to taste my bitter triumph as a mad immortal man. Nevermore shall I return, escape these caves of ice, for I have dined on honeydew and drunk the milk of paradise. Xanadu! I hope that gets us started.
That was beautiful. And what a perfect lyrics and poem. And there we go. Xanadu is it. So, Q, I know that you have a very special message for everyone today. And especially now, we can really look forward to Xanadu, to all of the good things that we have been, you know, asking for, praying for, and intending. So with that being said, please tell us a little bit about what you would like to speak with us about today.
Yes. Well, first, since we're so close to the holidays, I thought it would be really fun to do a micro history lesson on how the light works, source, if you like, the force, whichever you like, and how we integrate in individuality and the collective in a body throughout time. And so getting your memories back is part of this. And my first item I'd like to talk about is this could not be possible in this lifetime for me to get my memories back if it wasn't for special forces individuals who released several implants from me, and they paid with their lives. And that individual especially is Max Steele. And he's not the only one, but Max Steele is an ancient partner of mine. And that was his name on the radio shows. He did BBS radios. He did, Wolf Spirit Radio as well. In any event, this information would not be possible unless it for my beloved, dear partner, Max Steele. And I love him dearly. But certainly, if you could coach me on where you want to start, much of you heard a name in the song there of an individual I was in the past. And knowing who I was, I know this is going to be a lot of information quickly through our harmonics, but you'll see a pattern here when we talk about individuality from the past and currently. But certainly getting your memories back is what we're all going through now. And I call it memories because we're getting our natural knowledge back. So what I'd like to talk about is some of the individuals you may be aware of in your history books. And since we only have a short schedule here today, there are many other individuals that have been erased from your history books, so to speak. But the first thing I'd like to talk about is your relationship with time. And then maybe you could coach me, Jane, on some of the individuals we might want to talk about in which I had lives at. Is that okay to start that way?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay. So I'm going to talk about AD and BC real quick, after death and BC and AD. They're comical to me because someone's worked really hard to say that there was something here 2,000 years ago that impacted you so much that you had to mark that timeline. Now, why would we invent before Christ and after death? Why would we do that? So that something must have been spectacular that happened then. Well, that was the ascension cycle. So all of time for me is fraught. Not to say there isn't time, but measuring time is not possible. And so remember that as we talk about these things today, time is what clocks measure. And so the past is not relevant to you once you get your memories back and or you're more in light. And so I want to encourage everybody that the past does not exist. It's already gone. Your creativity and your expression of yourself is all that exists. Please, Jane, coach me on which direction we might go next.
Mm-hmm. Well, since we would like to be able to know more from a little bit more from your past as the singularity of who you were back then. And if you'd like, perhaps you could start with the Buddha. Or you could start even prior to, whichever you'd like to start with.
Yeah, so Billy nailed me one day on the radio, so I have to continue with this because it's, of course, synchronicity. I think I've said on the radio show, I had a three-year-old walk up to me not too long ago and say, "That's Buddha." And I said, "Wow, that kid has all his light in him." And he has all his consciousness, and that's very common for children to have much of their capabilities. And of course, as the DNA gets more hold of our consciousness, we lose a lot of our natural abilities when you're young. In any event, that is true. Being that individual was very special because it's still carrying through today much of the teachings. I want to remind everybody that the teachings are identical today. They're nothing more, nothing less. And that is go within and use your natural abilities through your heart center to make your decisions, your excitement, your passion. That is how the universe works to benefit you. Yes, I'm a broken record. I encourage you all to use your heart to make decisions.
just slow it down and observe. You're either in neutrality or you're either in creativity. Nothing more, nothing less. You're inspired or you're neutral. Look within yourself. Look within yourself. And you'll see that there's only right now, just right now. It's your decision to make the next choice. Only yours. There is only one God, you and you. You're an expression and an experience all in one for all of us. We are all from source. In any event, the reason Buddhism, in my opinion, and why we were so effective carrying those teachings on, you'll notice now everybody in the formal Buddhist practices puts a lot of words into what I'm conveying to you now. Just go with it. That's all you have to do. Stop thinking. Okay. I didn't say stop doing. I just said stop thinking and overanalyzing your next decision. Let it flow for you. I know these words get redundant, but it's super simple. That's why it's tricky. That's why it's difficult. So much of what little I've read, I should say, is not complete for me in the Buddhist teachings. And I want to be real careful because a lot of people follow Buddhism. But essentially, when I was born as that, this is important for us now, by the way. When I was born as that individual, I was viewed as the golden child because I could touch you and you'd be healed and enlightened all at the same time. Now, just because that identity was viewed as Buddha doesn't mean that there was one silo and or light body in that being. It was far vaster than one individual. So you can't really put a label on identity in a relationship to the light coming into physicality. So what I'm doing my best to say is there could be a bunch of us in one being, which enabled us to have more abilities and or no restrictions in physicality. So when I was a young Buddha, I did not prefer a name, just like I don't prefer a name now, because that lends itself to identity, individuality, when I see us as a collective. A great, 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 incredible awareness we had in that body. And so even though some of the readings I've viewed say that there was many teachings I observed in order to be that individual, that is not true. But we will never judge that because there's been so much space and time in between that era. The Buddhists, all the Buddhist historical data I've seen is absolutely incorrect as far as time is concerned, because we didn't measure time back then. So throughout that relationship, I'll take that back. We didn't measure time the way we measure time now. So want to take great care. And again, I'm offering information today, nothing more, nothing less. Please dismiss anything you don't want to accept and keep what you do. We had more ability to receive the light when you didn't have much light either. So it's not fair to say that Buddha got credit for the enlightenment process when I touched you or I explained things or you observed my harmonics or you were around me. Just as easy to raise your light body in your physicality when you were around me. But the opportunity for us was far greater because we had less restrictions of our genetics. So go ahead, Jane, if you want to steer me somewhere now. I just want to get the ball rolling there so we can open it to a direction you think would be fitting for everyone.
Well, before we go on to the next individual, why was it that you decided to be that individual as Buddha and the other personalities that also went within him? What was that purpose then? Was that to begin the process of when you come in as, you know, Jesus or Yeshua, that you go back to that part of your past in order to be able to try to bring the East and the West together. What was the purpose of becoming Buddha? I guess is probably the main
right. Thing. So, thank you very much. So, when we go through the ascension cycles, and in between ascension cycles, we—that's all of you listening—we like to participate because we created this universe, and some of us initiated it, and some of us more than others. And so the answer would take several weeks to articulate, but essentially our excitement is to participate and enhance, improve, relate, acknowledge, excite, grow, many words in relationship to making the light, steering the light to grow the universe. That was a very light planet then. There was far more light in this planet. So it was a very fun, very fun, very little duality, although plenty of duality. But it was easier because there was more light here. Duality was just kind of a laughingstock. And that's some of the reasons why it's different now. There's no way we would believe that duality would take such a hold because it was so easy to go from A to Z to have all your abilities back. And that's why the teaching of Buddhism has retained a lot of tenure and so many people do follow it. Again, the teachings were very simple. Bring in more of your light body by utilizing our collective consciousness through your heart as your primary observation and decision-making process. Hope that helps.
So you're saying primarily that there wasn't the duality back then, or is that when did that start then?
Yes, the duality was, again, we lived a lot longer too, and that's been lost in translation. And so duality did exist, and much of the patterns that I am seeing, though, is that the duality would attack these teachings. They're doing it now too. And of course, the end of my life as that individual, I did go into isolation and very peaceful place because you want to walk the talk the best you can and be in and make decisions that only your heart will accept, your consciousness. And it seems brutally honest. Especially in relationships, I really don't like doing this now. And you do something else instantly. It was very easy to do that then, and people would accept it and rejoice in it because it creates more synchronicity. And that's what is so unique about that those times and why it's so powerful now through the Buddhist teachings. You know, the synchronicity of your choices, if they're done through the heart, they're always praised. Especially on other planets and other dimensions, everyone's excited for another choice. Unlike here, when you make a choice, you are not celebrated. You're fined, or you go somewhere. you're a bad person because there's so much judgment here in comparison. There was the enlightenment process was so expansive back then. There was no judgment. There was no care for the past, except for the individuals who didn't go through the enlightenment process, so to speak, for lack of better definition. Hope that was clear.
Yeah. So if it was easier back then in terms of the energy and the light, so we're still looking. I guess the only thing I'd like to bring up is again, you know, the deep. Well, we can't call it the deep state, but let's just say the bad guy, the dark agenda. I mean, when did they start really infiltrating and making it worse and worse and worse? I mean, do we go back again to the different world wars that we've had, and that's really the big shift when they started taking control and not letting not really working on the Far Eastern philosophy of, you know, love, joy, you know, healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a great question. So even before Buddhism, there was duality, just not as grand as now. And what you, if you could take a snapshot, again, there's no such thing as time, but let's talk linearly just for a subset. Let's just go back 20,000 years ago. Of course, you know, much of the ancient times have been manipulated by your measurement of time. But the ancient times, whether it was Babylonian or Aztec or you just keep going, you'll see that it ebbs and flows over time. It looks like a big wave throughout all the ascension cycles. Duality loses traction. It's the bottom of the swell, top of the swell, duality grows, vice versa. Some ascension cycles, the light is very strong. Other times, the next ascension cycle, very, very little. But for the most part, for the last, if we're going to talk literally, for the last 6,000 to 8,000 years, somewhere right in there, duality has grown and grown and grown and grown like a small hill. And this ascension cycle, it's made a very steep rise in capability. And so primarily what the dark has been capable of doing is genetically modifying humanity so that its brain is the primary receiver and transmitter of decision making. And I know these words are tricky to explain how vast the dark is and how vast the light it is. I'll do my best. Forgive me. Mm-hmm. But essentially, the dark has the ability to control all your thoughts now compared to back then. Your moods, your emotions. You can actually, the individuals who created Star Wars had a lot of help, and they did their best to sneak out some good information, and that is observe your emotions, but you don't have to participate in them. Find yourself, hold yourself in one place. And that's all that's going on here, is bringing in more light here. And duality knows how it works. As you may have heard, Ron Amatron, myself, maybe Stuart Swerdlow, many others, Simon Parks, who it doesn't really matter. We have a lot of our memories back and remember what it's like to be in peace energy. So and this version of humans is having a tough time remembering, and that's a gross overstatement, and stereotype, forgive me. We're just observing, we're just examining, we're not judging. This type of human currently wants to always think all the time and remember everything as if it's a victim or fear, greed, lust. That all comes from the mind. And so the dark knows how that works. The dark knows the light. The light does not know the dark. We're very naive as light beings. We're unaware of how the dark knows us so well because we're so spontaneously loving beings. We just want to go express and experience. If that was heard well.
So between Buddha and coming here as Yeshua or Jesus, people call him Jesus, you could not intervene. I mean, you could only come here every 2,000 years. You couldn't come in between all the in between that, time of frame.
That's incorrect. We can do whatever we want.
Uh-huh.
We participate however we want. We just want to help with I'm just going to talk about Earth. Currently, I am on 3, arguably 4 different planets at one time. But again, your relationship with time is flawed. The bilocation process that we all have the capability of doing, multidimensional capabilities we all have, can be compartmentalized and isolated in segments that you're calling time spontaneously. So if you're a fractal of source, Mm-hmm. How many fractals are you around the universe? See, there's no identity. There's just a volume. To have the awareness is all I'm talking about, that you can be multiple fractals on multiple planets. I hope that helps.
Okay. So if you're you've been watching everything that has been happening on our beautiful blue earth here, couldn't you come in as strongly as you did then and as you did, 2,000 years ago as Yeshua? I mean, if you can be anywhere and everywhere, why couldn't we have perhaps maybe not gone this far to where you have to be here and we're at the end of the line? I mean, we are really,
That question is returned to you.
That touche. Okay.
I ask you the same thing.
Okay.
So what words can I measure you on if I haven't walked in your shoes? What is it like to be the creation that you made? I am creating with you as mm-hmm. you have many, many, many times before. This is our party.
Okay. So, all right. So let's go forward. And I also want to talk a little bit more about Star Wars, because you have been involved in Star Wars, even Star Trek, some of these beautiful, wonderful shows that people have been able to watch, etc., and giving hints in regards to who you are, etc. So how did that come about? And then I do want to talk more about you in the past as far as being Yeshua.
Yeah, so when you're able to bilocate and or time travel, as you might call it, we were able to go forward and backward. I assume people have heard my stories and my participation with Billy at Area 51 and so forth. So we knew this was an electronic war, media war, propaganda war against the return of the light. So as you can imagine, Return of the Jedi, that movie, is designed to be entertainment, of course. But as the light returns, we all get more powerful. When we return, we get more powerful. We all get more of our light in us. So one way to give you stepping stones, excuse me, not only do we pick a genetic match that will grow out of the light quicker, notice that a lot of the industrial military complex that was run by aliens did a really good job of implanting many of us and making sure we didn't come out of our restrictions of DNA, which we're all coming out of now. Hooray for all of us. And so as you gather yourself, you'll start observing what were some of the clues that were given to you to help out. To your point, how come you didn't clean up this mess, Mr. Hotshot Q? Well, look how fast we're going. It's shockingly fast where we're at compared to 50 years ago. And so those movies were made by people who got more of their collective consciousness and were genetically chosen as to receive more of their light and explain it in an entertaining fashion. I hope that helps.
Oh, that's beautiful. So for everyone who hasn't had a chance to see those movies or TV shows, I think you'll find that when you look at, for example, this Star Wars, you could see the battle between the light and the dark. You know, we're talking about Darth Vader, and then, of course, you're talking about the Jedi, and then there's that little guy, what's his name again?
Yoda.
Oh, Yoda, right? Brilliant movies, by the way, and we thank those.
Yeah, now Jane, you must look at the progression of all that information over the last 2,000 years, and you'll find them. Many of our history books are destroyed or been manipulated. The aliens like to cut and paste the truth out of them in these days. But so as an example, if I buy a book that Jane wrote today and the neighbor brought it a book from Jane, they may have different words in them. And so that's disappointing, of course, because of the way they can cut and paste time. But essentially, the books before Star Wars and before Star Trek were another stepping stone as our media changed. So those books are quite old now. And you'll see that some of these science fiction books, as you call them, are actually disclosure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Well, let's move forward, Q, if you will, and let's talk about you coming here, you know, 2,000 years ago as Yeshua, or a lot of people call, you know, Jesus. And of course, everyone knows, you know, either name probably as the God that people have, you know, prayed to and put on a huge pedestal, and that was the God who was going to clean and really help the world. All we had to do was pray to that individual outside of who we are. And of course, we know that that's no longer the truth. But tell us about that life. What was also the purpose then, and why at that time? And we can go from there. Thank you.
You bet. So again, we talked about already, there's a tremendous propaganda for the teachings to be misunderstood and misrepresented. The same thing we're teaching now and or remembering now that we all know, I'm just reiterating what we already know, and 2,000 years ago, which is an inaccurate number, but we'll live with that for now. There was a great, great agenda to get you to believe in time. Now, it didn't happen 2,000 years ago that time started getting more prevalent, but the propaganda against the light coming back is what the purpose of calling me Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is one of the worst words you could use in any language. So there's number one. And so those teachings across the ascension cycle, the shoulder. So as we went through the ascension cycle back then, the dark was very successful getting us to reincarnate again. And so they worked real hard to invent epigenetic recording system, the NATO, so that you would, number one, believe in money, in your genetics, and believe in time. And so the biggest difference with that individual, myself, then, as compared to Buddha, is I couldn't have a large column of light, a bunch of us in one body. Notice that many of us remember being Yeshua. Well, we could participate in one body for a period of time and then do something else. But it wasn't as capable and versatile as, say, when we were Buddha. So as we increased our awareness of this, we actually had three of us in with the same consciousness, just like now. So we used the number three for redundancy. We had five originally, and only two were not captured by the dark in this time. Two were captured by the dark, including myself. So originally, there was only two of us with our light bodies in us in this ascension cycle. Back then, all three of us were successful, and we didn't need the redundancy of five. So what I'm doing my best to explain is we had a larger volume of light in us as Yeshua, but we didn't have as much as we did when we were Buddha, and we had to do some training. And we did some of there is some truth in the Bible of how we came into physicality. Star Wars does depict that, and we can just jump in a genetic space and become a being. It's very common for all of us to do. So it's important to look at the generations of ascension cycle and notice that the genetics are different each time. It's very important to participate as that individual so that you know what that society type of being is going through. And so, as an example, your dinosaurs were exterminated. Now, the dinosaurs didn't see it coming because they were so naive, as an example. beautiful, beautiful beings the dinosaurs were. Very, very, very knowledgeable, beautiful beings, just like our killer whales and dolphins now. So in any event, as Yeshua, our teachings were identical today, and the transfer of what we're presuming we're calling the disciple process is exactly what's happening now. You're listening to my voice. You're getting more of your light in you. If I was around you then after my teachings, per se, I had less DNA restricting the volume of light coming into me, and we grew quicker than we do now because we were so much lighter then. Very similar to what I spoke about earlier. We could bring in more light if we had a being here that had more light in it. Very simple to enlighten someone 2,000 years ago, for lack of a better timeline, because once you're around a light being, you get your light in you just by touching, collaborating, and the exercises were identical to now. Just listen to your breath and just observe where thoughts are coming from. Well, that version of humans back then only needed one or two interactions with a light being, and then they were enlightened, and guess what happens? They go and enlighten their neighbor and their neighbor and their neighbor and so forth. And so that's the best I can do in that our enlightening process, increasing the volume of consciousness, light. Consciousness is a pretty tricky word, but I think people understand that all your knowledge already exists within you. There's not one thing you don't know before you got here. Not one thing, except the expression and experience of being you. To answer your very first question, why didn't you clean up this mess? Well, I get the luxury of being here with you. It's an unbelievable expression of ourselves. And what a glory it is to make it a beautiful and better place. Don't you think?
Very beautiful. Thank you for that cue.
Nobody gets that joke though. Nobody ever gets it.
No.
Well, Jane, that was a courtesy laugh, Jane. I know it.
Okay. Can we go back to the your birth here? And I know you just mentioned it, that you could just kind of jump in, you know. So, of course, if we're talking about, and I wanted to just kind of go back. You said Jesus Christ was the worst name ever. How do you explain that?
Okay, well, what do people say when they get mad?
That's, yeah. They say, yeah, well,
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Marjorie. Yeah, Marjorie, Jesus Christ.
That's true.
And again, we're not getting a new car. Golly Jesus.
You're right.
That's where golly G came from. So much of the teachings were so powerful, just like as Buddha, that they had to do something. And so a bunch of stories came out. And again, as Yeshua, I went into confinement because the dark catches up with the teachings in some way, shape, form, not to the volume of now, I would say, but very, very vast attacks on Yeshua as we got down the road. So anyway, that was one way to do it, is create a bunch of stories about a prominent name. Yeshua is the most prominent name back then for me. Emmanuel was used in other regions, though. Hope that helps.
Yes. Okay, so I just want to clarify again in terms of who created the Jesus Christ, anyways, name.
Well, I'm going to keep the name off the record, but you can assume this is the typical black magicians you can see now. The dark works within the magicians, and this name is very prominent in some of your spiritual teachings now, and people aren't going to believe it. And that's not my concern to talk about the past and individuals. I just want you to know that we don't really prefer, as light beings, identity, titles, no hierarchical systems. They're very odd to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the answer.
I'm not going to give you any more because you're seeing it. Okay. You're actually seeing it right now that the dark wants you to have identity. They want your picture. They want a newspaper article. They want some kind of identity so you can be attacked through another individual. You look at your modern court systems. Everything is about the past. Right. You've done something. You're being bad. You're being good. It doesn't really matter. As long as you have identity, you can attack somebody here would be a gross salutation for me.
All right. So in this reality of 3D, so if we talk about now, because everyone is celebrating, obviously, you know, whether it's Hanukkah, whether it's Christmas, whether it's another, you know, any of the other holidays, it's all kind of coming together, all within the same weeks or whatever. What is the significance of that? And then we'll talk a little bit about Christmas as well, if we could.
Right. So, remember, we did not celebrate time. Okay. Timelines, calendars. We worked much like your animal life here. We worked with seasons because we're on a planet that is a spirit. So again, why do people live in primarily mammals? All sorts of beings live within planets because you're closer to source and the connection to your planet. So you have a big, very heavy relationship with the inspiration of your planet. So as an example, Earth is vast in its understanding of water. It's a water planet. And so it's inspired to have all sorts of water and creatures around water and so forth. And so what we observe here is just the experience of the identity of your planet. Well, look at where all your calendar dates are in relationship to the seasons. Why do you vote on November 8th in America, as an example? Well, what's happening there? Look at how. Why do they call it fall? Shouldn't be called fall. So ridiculous. This English language is designed to be a black magician's heyday. Fall. So you're actually should be calling it rays. It's a beautiful time when we change seasons from as autumn comes through. It's a beautiful, rejoiceful time for the leaves to fall in many regions. The change, the rebirth, the hibernation of animals, etc., etc. So it's very confusing to see these holidays and where they land, because they're opposing, in most cases, the rejoiceful, natural rejoicing of the planet. The planet loves its seasons. And by the way, somebody brought in a moon and changes your weather patterns on top of it all. So we could talk about that all day. And so we have a planet that wants to reflect its expression. And that should be our natural rejoicing of the planet's evolution and seasonal excitement. I hope that came through okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so even though, you know, so for the holidays, tell us what your point of view is regarding the holidays that we have been celebrating, you know, as we have been asleep for so many years anyways, and we're continuing to do that because that is a time of love. We always talk about celebrating. A lot of the holidays are all really about love. So what are your thoughts on that? Because okay. I know. Yes.
Excuse me. Notice that we use the word holiday. A lot of these words, if you reverse them, they give you a lot of information that has held strong over the hundreds and thousands of years. If you look at the word holly, and you notice that most white magicians would always have holly trees and make their wands out of holly, and so when we observe holly days. Holly is very prominent in December in most northern hemispheres. And now when you surround yourself with holly, you can infuse the gift of white magic, so to speak, that beautiful deliverable and transfer. By the way, try and kill a holly tree. It'll be back tomorrow. You cannot kill a holly tree. That is the symbol of life. That is the symbol on your planet of never-ending life, as the song is. We are the light, and we never die. We are forever. Well, so is holly in its transition, and that should make a nice segue into why we put so much energy into Mr. Nicholas, because he understood that, and he had a volume of light directly from us, and that's all of us. But we directed it and rejoiced in it, and the celebration of distribution of love, white magic, if you like, holly, never ending tenure of the light. It's not explained, but why do you, very well in our current culture, at least in North America, but why do you put holly wreaths around your front door? Why was St. Nicholas always wearing a green outfit, not red? You can thank Coca-Cola for that one, et cetera, et cetera. We could talk about this a lot, but when you bring in more light into one individual and all that individual did was share the lights, those people were enlightened too. So you could do it in between the ascension cycles. You can do it on the ascension cycles. It's a little booster throughout the eons. Another individual that people don't know was me is, you can actually look this individual up on the internet, I'm sure, was a man named Old Parr, P-A-R-R, and he was murdered by the royal families of Belgium. And when I was Old Parr, I was 151 years old, I believe, by your measurements. I was killed because I had many, many of the teachings that I do now, but I was going to prove how you could live just like you and not die. So as an example, I fathered a child when I was 80, and I would have probably left when I wanted to because the genetics were built for it. Probably would have lived probably 400 or 500 years. Well, a lot of the dark didn't want that to happen. So sorry, I got off a little track there, but please continue, Jay.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. How do you spell that? So it's Old P-A-R?
Yeah, you should see it. There's the artist is very interesting. He taught classes on how to paint me then. Wow. And tried to get as many of those teachings out. So there should be many versions out there. And I used to have the original.
Sorry that you don't have it anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's still fun because guess what? Old Parr's going down the road somewhere. It doesn't matter. And someone, even if it's in the garbage can, someone will get the teaching.
Beautiful. All right. I think we've only got like about 5 minutes left or so. And so as we are winding down, the hour went by so very quickly. I have a ton of other different questions, and I'm sure a lot of people also probably would love to be able to have that opportunity to talk with you again. So tell us, perhaps maybe you can kind of give us your own, you know, a holiday message for everyone, and maybe a wonderful, beautiful command for all of us as we do this together, because it's so much more powerful as we move together and do some of these calls or these commands with you, because that energy, that frequency just spreads all over the place. Thank you, Keith.
Very good. Very good. Love you so much. Love everybody who listen. This is a quick one for you in relationship to, no matter what you're going through, everything is going to be perfect. Everything will work out. I guarantee you. Encouragement, a very quick chorus from a fun song, if you don't mind. They used to say I was nowhere, man, reaching out for eternity. But today, I know there's so much more I can be. Me. So I hope that helps everybody. And I encourage you all, anybody who's slapping on the back of the head, don't worry about it. Just choose another path. It's really okay. My love to you. I command Prime Creation to give us, all of us now. I command Prime Creation to give us everything right now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And it will be my love to you all. My love to you all. Beautiful day.
Much love. Thank you very much, Q. That is the end. Until we see him again. Much love to everyone then. Thank you.